in moments of full disclosure, not every discussion we've ever had about a personality in tshuva has always resonated with me as much. Sometimes in preparing it, the world of, let's say, Navardic in tshuva or something like that was almost a little bit challenging at times. And then there are people that write and talk about tshuva and do so in a way. The bags, could we let's take it out and then you're good to go. Then there are people that talk about tshuva in a way which is I think very, very beautiful and very, very nice, in a way which is a little bit innovative. If you go around, and certainly our base medrash, but many but the medrash in general, in the world in which many of us live, so Reb Judah Sefer Baderech is certainly a sefer which has been immensely popular. It's a sefer which seems to have resonated with a lot of people. It's certainly gotten a lot of action on social media and things like that. And I think for very, very good reason. And what I want to do today a little bit is talk about elements of the Sefer as far as the Mahalach and Tshuva, as we are wanted to do, to be able to talk about, you know, where he sort of falls out in amongst other Jewish thinkers, the unique approach that he has. And I'll just frame things in the following way. When you talk about people and talk about how they relate to Tshuva, we sometimes speak about the content of what they say, and we sometimes speak about the packaging. The way in which they say it, the way in which they describe tshuva. For the Bnei Yisachar as an example and his description of tshuva, so a lot of it is nice ideas, but a lot of the real like creativity is in the way in which he says it out, with Roshei Tevos and Sofei Tevos and Gematrias and things like that. For Reb Judah, in many ways, it's like this amazing blend of wonderful insights and words of chizak, of cute and inspiring anecdotes following some very much on target Torah. It's like a beautiful blend, the way I would say, of a person that is talking about probably one of the most serious of topics, but is doing so in a way in which he's not taking himself too seriously. And there's something very, very holy and very beautiful about that. And I think really in many ways, it's a sefer, which I think for good reason. If we spoke last night from the Torah of Cook about the need for Torah for each generation, the need for Torah to be personal. So this is a Torah, which I think is I think in many ways, elements of it are always relevant, but it really speaks in a very profound way to those of us here in this world, in our generation, who are dealing with the issues that we're dealing with. And you know, I hope that we'll do it at least a little bit of justice to describe parts of it. I want to be mocked in before anything else, talking about, you know, four, I guess, Mekoros that come largely from the world of Rishonim, and their description of tshuva, because in many ways it's the background, I think, to appreciate a little bit of what's happening in the Sefer Baderech, and hopefully it's a background which can be worthwhile. We referenced some of these Mekoros actually last week in the context of Aaron Cutler, but we'll try to do it from a bit of a different angle now. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, so many of us know that in discussions of tshuva, so the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, it's a very precise kind of a formulation for what is considered to be tshuva. He has tiers of tshuva, as Chazal do. There's tshuva meira and tshuva me'ava. There are higher levels of tshuva. But the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, Umayi HaTshuva, what's considered to be repentance, returning, however you want to translate, what's called tshuva. Hu sheyazo v'achotechet, to stop doing what, stop the sin, aziv v'sachet. V'yasiru mimachshavaso, stop thinking about it entirely. V'yigmor belibo shlo yaseyu od. And you have to decide, I'm done with the sin forever. This is not a sin that I'm ever going to do again. It's over. This whole period of my life has ended. And says the Rambam, v'yeira lav yodea ta'alumos, so yashav lazeh hachei le'olam. And the Rabbonu Shalom kiviyachal has to be made, it has to be willing to testify that in fact you are never going to go back to this sin at all. Says the Rambam, v'tzarech lezvados b'sfasa v'lomar, and a person has to engage in vidoy, a person has to admit that on some level they have sinned. That, says the Rambam, is the definition of tshuva. That is a remarkably high level, it's a very high standard. If you're doing tshuva, as many of us, you know, especially as you get older, maybe not for you the same way, but there are definitely some sins that we come back to year after year, some things that's like, here again, Rabbona Shalom on Yom Kippur, like I think I said video for this last year, and I think like we're still there, and not because the minig is in Yom Kippur to say video for things you did years ago, no, it's because we're still there a little bit. And for the Rambam, it's a very challenging thing, how a person does tshuva, you know, in that kind of a way. It's very almost like result-oriented. It's an understanding that Rabbona Shalom has to clarify and say, you're done with this forever. And I'm not sure how many of us would be willing to be made, you know, that we're entirely entitled forever. That's something which is very, very intense. That's the Rambam at one extreme. As you shift over a little bit, Rabbi Yonah and Shari Tshuva, So Rabbeinu Yonah understands that, in fact, v'nei madregos rabos l'tshuva. There are different levels of tshuva. Ulefi hamadregos yiskari v'adam el HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And depending on how much you do tshuva, that's how close you get to Ribbono Shel Olam. And here's a very famous line of Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, v'amnam, l'chol tshuva timtza slicha. Any form of tshuva which you do comes with a degree of forgiveness, even if it's not all the way, even if it's not really perfect, but but you won't necessarily have it be that like all of your sins are entirely eradicated. Some may continue to be there on some level. Some may continue to be present. But whenever a person does tshuva, there is a degree of slicha. Now, as the Baron Cutler points out in Mishnah B'Aharon and Chelek Beis, Rabbeinu Yonah is saying something important. Rabbeinu Yonah is talking about within a person that does tshuva, there are tiers of tshuva. Within a person that goes through the process of tshuva, so there are tiers. Some are bigger, some are small. Some get real complete purity, some get less purity. But it's all speaking within tiers within a person who does tshuva. It's certainly not as almost like intimidating as the Rambam's tshuva. Not the Rambam. It definitely understands, emphasizes a bit more of a range, the full tshuva, timtza slicha. But at the same time, it's really for people that are doing tshuva. It's their tiers of how you do tshuva, tiers of why you're doing tshuva, tiers of the quality of your tshuva. But it all has to be there on some level. The third view we saw last week a little bit also is the Mabit in Beis Elokim. The Mabit in Beis Elokim says it in a bit of a more intense way, where the Mabit says, you know, with most mitzvahs, if you do part of the mitzvah, you don't get schar for it. If I put on, you know, tefillin just a little bit, that's not called, you know, just part of it over here. Lav Dafka, is that called really considered to be a mitzvah? Or if you put on tzitzis and it doesn't have on four, you know, on four corners, you're like a more of a two-corner kind of a guy, you know, then that doesn't really work either. You don't get schar at all. You don't get schar for that. Says the Ma'abek, Einu kishar mitzvah sha osa chelik ben mitzvah. Einu chelik, schar ha-mitzvah, k'mo shi tomar, mitzvah tzitzis, u'bidal ha-kanfos. You do it in three. You're not mekayim the mitzvah at all. You're not mekayim the mitzvah at all. But says the Ma'abek, v'yula ma'tshuva gam ki ein ha-shlema. Even if it's not perfect, there's not perfect charata, I don't feel as bad as I should, and maybe there's not a zivas achet entirely. In kol zeh charata levate, I just feel bad that I sinned. B'li a zivas achet, mo'el k'tah. That also works a little bit. V'chein a zivas achet, b'li charata, I stopped sinning. I don't feel that bad about it. You know, if I was going back there, I'm thinking like, I used to do that, I'll be honest. I don't feel that bad about it. I stopped doing it, but I can't say I have like massive amounts of charata. A guy that knows that, you know, He sometimes used to curse. He would speak with profanity or speak in very sort of like obscene ways. And he looks back, he stopped talking that way entirely. But there's no real charata over there. He doesn't feel terrible about it. That was who I was then. I've like moved on a little bit, but I don't feel like deep pain as a result of it. So that's still called a little bit of tshuva. That also still counts as the ma'bit. And that's the ma'bit's a step further. This is Rabbi Aaron Cutler point that we noted a couple weeks ago. This is Rabbi Aaron points out. It's further than Rabbi Yonah. Rabbi Yonah, if you're doing a full tshuva, because there are tiers of full tshuva, for the ma'abit, I don't even really require a full tshuva altogether. I don't even require that much. That is still called something, which is chashuv, you know, even without all of that. The most, in many ways, extreme is the drashos haran. The Ran, one of the great Rishonim, not to be confused with sichos haran, and the talk about the sefer we're talking about, that is an important distinction to be aware of. Sichos haran is Torah of Rabbi Nachman. Drashos haran is Torah of the Ran, the Rishon, both wonderful svarim. But here says the Ran as follows, and it's very, very beautiful, like this. Abahadvar mapratiim ko echad ve'echad yodeya nagalavavo v'mitzvah olav l'rapos eshivro ki mashadim asaga. Everyone, there are certain mitzvahs or averas that lots of people struggle with, and there are certain things that like you're on your own journey with this one. Like it just feels a little bit like it's more like it's just me. Like I'm struggling with this a little bit. You know, the thing, kulam ba'ava lashon hara. You know, it's chazal tell. No. Not everyone's like. Many of us are in the lashon hara, you know, battle together. Many of us are in a lot of our struggles together. But there are some things as Iran. He spoke about some of the more well-known ones. They're private things that I struggle with X, you struggle with Y. They're, that's how it works. It says as follows: umishim mashlim chok tshuvaso. If you're able to complete the standards of what's called tshuva, Harezim Meshubach, it's a wonderful thing. The Baruch Shalom loves you. It's an amazing way of saying it. Harezim Meshubach sounds like it's almost like an extra above and beyond. If you could do tshuva like Harezim Meshubach, it's like you're up late at night on Pesach night, like Cholam Arba L'Saper, No, it was Meshuvah. Like, yeah, I'm like the Tanayim. They were up at 4:30 in the morning saying, you know, going over see Yitzis Mitzrayim, and I'm feeling pretty good about myself. Okay, I raised in Meshuvah. It's interesting. Umisha Eino Mashlim Ba. What if I didn't start the, I didn't finish the process of Tshuva? I couldn't. El Shehischil Ba Velo Gamra. I started, but I wasn't really able to finish. Hare Hikil Mechataso. It still matters. It still makes your sin a little bit lighter. Afilu Mi Shemesim Elibo Das Lashuv B'Tshuva. Even if you just think about doing Tshuva, I didn't even do that much, but I thought about doing Tshuva. That also sweetens, it lightens the punishment that a person would be able to get. And the Ron tries to prove this in the Psukim and Parsha Nitzavim that there are different these madrigas of tshuva, that here her tshuva alone has a lot of toelas, even if a person doesn't finish it entirely. So even that's considered to be chashuv. In many ways, then what you see amongst Rishonim is a wide range when it comes to the world of tshuva, and it's a wide range which is important to know. It's Aseres Yimei Tshuva. And as part of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, so for the Rambam, it's a very high standard. And then you have some of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yonah, somewhere in between. You have to like complete Tshuva, but there are Madregas and the whole Tshuva Tim Tzlicha. At least there are color red him. But certainly for the Mabit, even just like it's like, you know, wearing three strings on three of your corners. For Tzitz, it doesn't count. For Tshuva, it's a chashuv thing. And for the Ran, if you finish it, like HaRezim Meshuvach, it's a holy thing. But if not, if you go through the process a little bit, so that's something which is also considered to be very, very chashuv. The primary chiddush in many ways of what Rav Judah is trying to sell is the following. Not sell is the wrong way of saying it. What he was trying to argue for in many ways in Baderach is reorienting ourselves in the process of tshuva. And listen up, because this stuff is very, very important. And I want to try to frame things in a way which is good. Let me begin as follows. The Iker Torah is like this. We sometimes live in a world which is massively focused on ultimate destination, that what my accomplishments determine, you know, where I am, and that the way that I assess accomplishments is whether I get to wherever it is that I need to actually go to. Like, what did I really do? It's true in the world of business. You know, did you make money? Did you not make money? But it's true in the world of Kiruv also. How many people, you're a Chabad Shliach somewhere, how many people put on tefillin, you know, today as a result of, how many people are lighting Halakha's Neiros tonight because of, there's a certain result-oriented feel, at least at times, that a person can almost experience in different parts of their life. That happens in yeshiva, derech agav, all the time. Happens in yeshiva all the time. How does it happen in yeshiva? In the following kind of a context. You have a guy that when he wants to figure out his goals or aspirations for Shana Bet, it's like, I need to be able to read, you know, Gemara Rishonim independently. Like, it's a very focused kind of like, as if like, I'm going to get to that point. If I don't get to that point, I haven't really been successful in learning. If I get over that point, then I'm called having been successful. And we live in a world which is very much focused on ultimate destination, on the capacity to really sort of accomplish in many ways. And that's where we are. That's where we are. What is different a little bit is something else entirely. Wasn't by the ear, Ezra, that's okay. Is something else entirely. And that is like this. Tshuva at its core, and this is going to be the primary point, is really much more about a journey than it is anything else. It's really much more about a process of understanding, and it's not that you're searching for eventually getting to this perfect destination, because life, the way that life is built, has, in many ways, it's about growth, it's about searching, it's about ups and downs and falling and getting back up, that our lives don't look like, if I get to this point, then I'm entirely good. But our lives are filled with many of the ups and downs. Our lives are filled with a variety of points where we're always developing and we're always growing. And we're moving in a particular kind of a direction. We're moving in a particular, I apologize for that. Not so much, but I do apologize. And we're part of Tshuva. And you're holding on to that marker, getting ready. And we're, you know, like the second I like, speaking, it's not going to happen. There is a development in many ways that a person goes through. It's a journey. And it's one that we always live with. Part of that is based on the Gemara Maseches Pesachim. And this is how he frames it in a certain sense. We'll quote some Mekoros that he quotes. He quotes a different medrash. It's a Gemara in a bit of a different way. The medrash happens to be a more beautiful formulation, which is easier for me just to quote the Gemara. But there are seven things created before the world was created. The Eluhain, and what are those things created before the world was created? Torah, Tshuva, Gan Eden, Gehenim, Kisei HaKavod, Beis HaMikdash, Ushmo Shel Mashiach. There are seven things created before the world is created. This is obviously a deeply challenging kind of a Gemara. What does it mean that some of these things are created? The Beis HaMikdash created before the world's created. In the Beis HaMikdash, like in this world, whatever it is, not for now. One of the most intriguing ideas, and this Rav Kook was very into this Gemara also, Tshuva's created before the world's created. It's a wild idea. I would have thought that Tshuva's a response to humanity, that we come in this world and a person messes up, and as a result of messing up, so what do they get? As a result of messing up, their Baal Shalom says, here's this idea called Tshuva. Tshuva's a way to fix it. The fact that Tshuva predates the creation of Tshuva, predates the world, shows us, and again, this is what Judah points out very beautifully, page 25, there in Badara, it shows us that part of the way the Ribbono Shel Olam built this world, part of the way the world functions, it was built with an understanding that there are ups and downs, there are failures, there are struggles, that people are real, and that it's not a perfect sort of linear, you know, growth, or just going upwards, and I'm entirely good to go. The world is filled with these things. And it's built into the fabric of creation. The same way that Torah predates the world, Torah is so fundamental. The world is built upon istakla b'oraisa u'bara alma. So tshuva is so fundamental, it comes before the world's created. And the way that tshuva comes into creation, the way that it happens to function, the way that it happens to go, is that a person can mess up sometimes. And when a person messes up sometimes, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam knows that a little bit. He knows there's going to be a struggle. That's why there's something called tshuva. And before he created us, he created something called tshuva because it was known and understood that part of the struggle, it's real, and that there's going to be sometimes, none of it's going to be perfect. That's why it has to come, kodem b'riyasa olam. And when you're on a journey, though, and when I'm on a journey, as many of us are, so the way that it works, I know for me, and I imagine many of us, we have good and we have bad. And there are always things that we get to focus on a little bit. And he quotes here a Torah from Rabbi Nachman, Likutei Moran, Tinyana, Torah Yitzayin. It's really a beautiful insight. Again, a lot of the Torah there is really from that world of Torah Sechsidus and certainly a heavy kind of a Breslov influence. But Rabbi Nachman writes as follows, Derech Hashem Yisparach Lehabed Al HaTovo She'osin. The Ribbono Shel Olam is very, very good that when a person does mitzvos, to focus on the good of that mitzvah. You know, sometimes a person, like all of us, have mixtures of good and bad. The Ribbono Shel Olam is able to look sometimes at the good. The Ribbono Shel Olam isn't as focused on the bad. Everyone knows how to find the good. Says Rabbi Nachman, Mikol Shekein Sha'adam, so to a person, Aso Lahabit Al Chaveiro Lira'a, you shouldn't be looking around like at other kinds of people and understanding that, you know, one of the implications of an idea that's focused less on destination and more on journey, more on the fact that it's built into the fabric of creation, that things are a journey. As Judah says, you know, a couple times there, the Torah of Lech Lecha, that Avram's told, like, you're going on a journey, El Ha'aretz Asher Ar'eka, you know, the destination's not always as clear, but you're going to go on a journey, and we all sort of hear that charge sometimes of a Lech Lecha, is that my journey is different than your journey and your journey is different than his journey, and that I understand that people can be at different stages on this journey. And Rabbi Nachman says, you know, with a reality like this, so I can learn to be like their Ribbono Shel Olam. And when people are at a different stage in their journey, I can look at where they're at on their journey and I can find the good in where they're at. Not get caught up in, but did you see how he did it? You know, did you see what he did? Did you see what it was like? You can look and be machshiv things for wherever they are. There's this great anecdote, verse number 7 in the sheep, page 242 to 243. It's a beautiful story, you know, but it requires some unpackaging. A Jewish apostate passed through a town and noticed that many local shops were closed. You have a guy born Jewish, but totally, totally as far off as you could get. And he comes to a town with his horse and wagon, and he sees that everything is closed in the town. So curious as to why that would be, he asked one of the people walking by, he said, why is everything closed? Don't you know, the guy said, today's Yom Kippur. Today's Yom Kippur. The Jew said, oh my gosh, today's Yom Kippur. Whoa, that's like a really important day. It told him it was a bit of a fast day. He said, okay, this is serious stuff. This Jew who had been off his whole life, didn't know anything, was very much taken by this. He knew that apparently, I don't know if it's true, but by the Christians, when they have fast days, so fast days means that you don't eat meat, but you can still have fish. You can still have fish. So this Jew decides, oh my God, today's Yom Kippur. I want to connect to my Jewish brethren who are fasting. He goes and he buys a beautiful piece of fish. You know, and when he leaves the town, he finds a store and finally signs something, a beautiful piece of fish, which he eats L'chavod Yom Kippur. You know, what's more chashuv than that? The Baal Shem heard this story, and the Baal Shem responded, Ashreichem Yisrael, Ashreichem Yisrael. So beautiful. He said, what are you talking about? The Jew didn't even know Yom Kippur. It's a fast day. He thought fast day. He took a Christian custom, which he distorted on Yom Kippur, and he ate food, L'chavod Yom Kippur, L'chavod Yom Kippur. How are you saying Ashreichem Yisrael? Like, where's the beauty? Where's the praiseworthy nature of Klal Yisrael here at all? Said the Baal Shem, but the Yid felt something. And he did something sincere to mark the day. That itself is meaningful. If you view the world as being a journey, so you can understand sometimes that if a person's very, very far, but they're at the initial step, they make a step forward on that journey, so I can be machshav of that a little bit also. Here's a Jew that felt Yom Kippur. He didn't even know what to do, but he felt something, and he was able to take a step forward. It's not the step that we would like. It's not the step which is ideal, but it's a chashuv step nonetheless for a person to be able to recognize that something is really there. That's a Torah Rabbi now, being able to look at things. You see, it's a journey. You can celebrate steps that people make in particular directions. You can celebrate what people are able to do in ways that are very, very inspiring. But sometimes for our own journeys, so you know, Yom Kippur is an intense time. You know, like the Vidoy is very intense. If you take Vidoy a little bit seriously, so Vidoy is very, very intense. And if you sit down and, you know, they're always like in like different places, they give out these like Vidoy booklets. You know, it's like every sin. You can almost like ordering takeout, you know, like check. You know, I think one of those, you know, like a little bit of that going on sometimes. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. You know, you're sitting there and you're like, is there a Chinese option? Because this is overwhelming. And sometimes it's almost like, you know, we talk about something like better restaurants have less options. And we use it as a muscle sometimes for Derech Halima, and sometimes like the lower tier restaurants have like a million options, and that's like my Vidoy book. You know, like it's a little bit intense sometimes. Whether whether it should be the focal point or not, is not for now. We'll speak about that Erev Yom Kippur. But it's definitely like a little bit overwhelming. And even though we understand that maybe we're on a journey, maybe we're never gonna get to this perfect destination. We're gonna improve and grow day in, day out, but never get there. But sometimes it gets a little bit challenging and a little bit hard. There's an amazing Sefer Achinach. I want to give a little bit of background. I'm sorry if I mess this up a little bit. I didn't get a chance to confirm any of these things. But I believe in the times of the Rishonim, there were a lot of Jews that were not wearing tefillin. Not the way that maybe like some of us are familiar with, like a chevra that's not wearing tefillin. There were people that thought, you know, the Gemara says in Mesech HaShabbos and Daf Mem Tes, that tefillin trichin gufnaki. That tefillin require a gufnaki. It's Machlokes Rishonim what exactly that means. But there are people that held, well, wait a minute. Tefillin requires gufnaki, requires a certain madrega. Am I on that madrega? Like, am I there? Can I really say that I'm roi to be able to put on tefillin? So you had people that were encouraging. I was like, don't put on tefillin. It's like, take the tefillin at mincha conversation and extend it to tefillin at chakras. You know, tefillin at mincha. You're in a madrega to where tefillin at mincha. Like, you can really do that. So just transport that conversation to tefillin at chakras. Like, what are you doing? We're in tefillin. It's almost like you are, like, who do you think you are? To be able to put on tefillin. And the Smag writes about this a bit. The Smag gave a drasha about this. You know, this movement, like, let's bring back tefillin, you know? Let's do that. It's almost a summer of an article one thing. The Smag, depending how you want to say it. You know, the Baba Trevi was like, you know, the second Smag, or the Smag was maybe then predated, you know, depending on how you view relative chashivas. But the, you know, but bringing back hanachas tefillin for the masses, you know, bringing back more tefillin. So says the Sefer Achinach, the following idea. It's an amazing Sefer Achinach. Please pay attention. Umasha amur shetfilin shichin gufnaki. Ein ha'amur shetfilin shichin gufnaki. Ein ha'inyan lomar shetfilin gufnaki me'aveiro somitam. It doesn't mean that a person has no sins at all. Ki kol adam v'afil tamei u'balaveiro mechayiv mitzvah tefillin. Every person. You can be the lowest Jew in the world. You're chayiv in the mitzvah of tefillin. Okay. Uvavad, if know how to treat it with a basic amount of respect, who even knows? Vulai mitochas madot mitzvah tefillin. Maybe if you're wearing tefillin, shein zikaron gadol la'adam, the melech hashamayim reminds you the Rabbanu Shalom. Maybe yashav midarcho hara. Maybe we'll even come back a little bit. Chachamim say even kids, the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Mem Beis, even kids are chayav in anachas tefillin once they get to a certain age. As follows. Umizeh yesh v'havin. Shedas rabba senu zichron levrach lios ko adem machlik mitvizov ragob. Chazal nishtot, be careful with the tefillin. Wear it well. Ki ikir gadol v'shmir rabba min ha'averos. The main idea, major principle, helps you avoid averos. V'sulam chazak la'alos ima. It's like a ladder, tefillin, that you can raise up with. V'hamachmirim b'kedushas ha'mitzvah. And there are those like machmirim who are like tefillin. Are you worthy of wearing tefillin? U'miniyam leva hamon b'divrei mis'asik. But they're telling people like, don't wear them. You're not a madrega that you can pull off wearing tefillin. Ulai kavanasam latova. Love that, ulai. Like maybe even they have good kavanas when they say that. Could be. Anything's possible. Could be they aren't just like a little bit angry, you know? Could be they're not like, you know. Avav be'emes, yesh b'zeh minia l'bnei adam b'kama mitzvos. This act of telling people, don't put on tefillin because you've messed up, you're not worthy, causes massive, massive problems. V'imedati kismichu adorish b'drash elu ha'maisik of Yerushalmi. And the chevra that tells them not to wear tefillin, they're going to quote a Yerushalmi. It's Yerushalmi that they're going to quote. That's like a chil Hashem when some people keep some mitzvahs, not other mitzvahs. That's what they're going to say. And if you're not doing all mitzvahs, don't do them. Only do. You've got to be all in on this stuff, you know? There's no middle option. If you're not in the bracha camp, klala it is. You know, there's nothing there going on in the middle. Says the v'lokim beisi ani emekel. I'm not from this world, says the Sefer HaChinuch. Even the biggest tzaddikim, they sin all the time. V'yim kol zeds, but all the sins were never held back from being mekayim mitzvos. Maybe im ulai yimshach b'darcho atova resmosa. Maybe in mitzvah you fulfill, they'll change your attitude a little bit. There's a different reality once you start dealing with where people are actually living. It's a hard existence. It's a hard existence sometimes. And it's hard when you know that you struggle. You know, a guy gets up sometimes, and this can happen. I don't daven with great kavana, you know, that frequently at all. And some of you are saying it. And only because I mean that at all. It doesn't happen. So I have a hard time davening with kavana. So a person could say, so like, why am I showing up? You know, at some point, if you're not doing it well, don't do it at all. If you're not doing it well, then don't do it. You know, you don't want to go play basketball and be the kid that's like traveling and double dribbling every 5 seconds, and the ref's just like, you know, blowing the whistle. You know, like, I can't even get in the court. Every time you don't know the rules. You get in the court. It's like watching 8-year-old. Then Chaim's games, he's like 8 years old. Like watching the kids play. Like one or two of the kids know the rules. Like no one else knows the rules. Everything's a travel. Everything's a foul. It's like, you know, it's like tackle basketball. You know, the balls are rarely even on the court because it gets like moved. You know, like, they don't even know what they're doing at all. And they can't play at all because there are certain like menios. There are certain struggles that they have in being able to do so. So you can look at Rosh Hashanah like that also. It's like, every time I step on that court to worship the Ribbono Shel Olam, I feel like there's a ref there calling foul. Every time I step on the court, I feel like someone's calling travel. Every time I step on the court, another double dribble. I know when I step forward, someone's tackling me. I don't even know why. I know this part of the game, and someone's already like, you know, tackling me or shushing me or whatever it is. You know, every time I walk on, and all I want to do is be a simple Jew, you know, and that's the existence. I'm just messing around. And that's the existence which I have. And that's not a journey that you want to go on. And if you think that the only way, but once I'll learn, mamish all the rules, and it'll all be great, and they'll never call foul on me, they'll never do it, I'll never travel, I'll never double dribble. That's not life. To say for Chinuch, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to get on the court. The Ribbono Shel Olam, the Rabbi Nachman Torah, he's not calling double dribble every single time with a really loud whistle, you know, pronouncing it. He wants you to be on the court sometimes, like a good, loving coach. He wants you to get up, even if you missed yesterday's game. He wants you to play in this game. He's still giving you playing time. He's not docking you or punishing you. Are there punishments? Avada, there are punishments. But in the way that you process, and what's going to actually help you grow is by focusing more on the good and more on your ability to sort of rejoice in the steps that you're taking. And when you take those steps in a certain direction, of course there are averas, and of course the person gets punished for those averas. Of course the ref calls fouls. But when you walk on the court, is all that you're hearing the fouls calls? Is all that you're hearing the double dribbles? Is all that you're hearing the traveling? Is all that you're hearing that get off the court, you don't deserve to be here? Or despite the double dribbles, which are real and you'll lose possession, I'm sorry for the sports marshal, but I think it actually works. Despite the travel calls that will be there and you'll lose possession, but you're still on the court and you're still playing. And over time, guess what? You'll be able to get on the court for longer. That's how we learn. That's the journey of a kid that walks in for the first time to a kid that can play, to us, that can play now more comfortably, more comfortably. It's like that with learning how to play a musical instrument. You know, we make so many mistakes in the beginning and that. But you fight through it and eventually you're able to get there. And that's what's Hashem. It's a journey in many ways of being able to learn how to focus on those positive things, not always to be to get caught so caught up in some of the negative, in some of the things that can bring us down and in many ways break us. I now want to just respond to what I think is maybe even a potential critique of the book and sort of respond to it, because I think it's important to understand. There are elements of this idea, of an idea which rejoices and celebrates the fact that you're on a process and on a journey, as opposed to pushing you towards an eventual destination, that sounds almost b'di'evet. There's a journey here. You know, it sounds almost like a little bit like, it's like for the kids that can't get to the finish line. So you say to them, like, don't worry, what you did was good enough. You know, that means you didn't do a good job. You know, like, I'm happy you tried. You know, the kid comes back with his test and he studied really hard. He got like a 14 on the test, you know. So you say, which is true, you did as well as you could do. But did you really push as much as you could? Because they could have done more. If the kid knows that if he comes home with a 14, that you're going to say, great job, I'm really proud of you. You're part of a journey in learning mathematics. So is the kid at some point going to feel like, well, if whatever I do is worthy of celebrating, if whatever I do on a journey is called part of my journey, the Bon Shalom created tshuva before the world because there are ups and downs. So what's so bad about a down? It's part of the way the Bon Shalom created the world, no? So why? So I don't feel that same push to really, really be excellent. So the MS, it's not true at all. It's not true at all. And it's a little bit of a sheker. And it's adaraba. It's uniquely ambitious for the following reason. But let me try and unpackage things a little bit. Chazal tells the Gemara Masech HaSukkah. It's a principle in limudim, but it's a principle in life of tefasta meruba lo tefasta. That sometimes the person who strives for too much walks away without that much. We think about it sometimes that many people struggle with remembering Torah. If you try to remember everything, you'll remember less. If you prioritize certain things that you really want to remember, you have much more of a shot. Tefasta meruba lo tefasta, it's a bit of a tricky thing. Avos Hashem, that's also true, that a person who tries to do or view success as only getting to a certain point will often not even strive to get anywhere near there and won't build a form of positive momentum. When the Rambam says their Bo Shalom is going to be made, you know, that you're not going to come back to this sin at all. So there are people who can look at that Rambam and say, I guess tshuva's not for me. I guess it's not something which I could really ever do because their Bo Shalom is not going to testify about me that I'm never going to speak Lashon Hara again. So I have no tshuva for Lashon Hara. Because the Bon Shalom is not going to be able to say he's never going to do it again. I feel bad that sometimes after noon Seder, I'm a Vatal Torah. I talk to my chavrut sometimes. So I have to be able to chew it for that means. Aziva Sachet, we stop talking Charata. I feel terrible about it. Vidu, I confess my sin. And I'm not going to go back and ever schmooze again with my chavrut in the afternoon. So that's awesome if you get there. But what if in the back of your head you're a little bit suspect it's not so real? What if you think there's a chance that you're going to talk to him, not only to provide him with chizuk in a difficult moment, maybe once in a while you'll miss the conversation. It could be that you're going to engage in that act of bittul Torah. It could be. There's a chizuk sometimes in knowing that we still want you to grow, even if you can't get towards perfection. If perfection is the only place called success, so maybe you're never going to get there. But if you can know that it's a journey and step by step by step, brings you somewhere, so then over time what you'll find is you are significantly more likely to have a good, consistent Seder without batala. If you understand that there's a journey and step by step, you're going to continue to evolve and to grow in a particular direction. But it's more than that also. Due to quotes on page 27, a beautiful comment of the Chidah in Chesed Lavram. The Chidah was like this unbelievable giant. One of the great Sfardi Gedolim, his Bekiyas was unbelievable in terms of Sfarim and Torah. The Chidah was really fantastic. So he quotes the Chidah and Chas Lavram the following idea. Please pay attention. It's so important. It's so important. You know, it's like if I feel like my life is a journey, if I feel like there are ups and downs, and I'm always evolving. For me, there's this farm I loved 10 years ago. Maybe nowadays it's other things. the ideas that would inspire me. Some of them still do, and some of them a little bit less so. You know, the way that I live my life is very, very similar. It's very, very similar to how I've been living it. But everyone has their, like, everyone has, you know, we evolve, and it's this, and it's that, and there are things that I struggled with years ago that I'm still struggling with. There are things I'm into now that I'm, that, you know, maybe less so than. That's the way that the world works. Every person is there on their own. This journey, though, is to do something. Is to do something. It's a journey where a person matters. A person's chashav. Says the Chida the following point: Kol neshama v'neshama. Every single soul, every single soul, yesh lo bechina yedua b'Torah, has a unique element of Torah, a unique insight in Torah. It's like the Kazan Tzermaged we quoted yesterday. The Kazan Tzermaged, it's one of my favorite words of his. Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek l'olam haba. Doesn't say Kol Yisrael. What's pshat Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek l'olam haba? So Kol Yisrael will have a chelek l'olam haba. Yesh lahem sounds like they have it already right now, a portion of the world to come. So Kazan Tzermaged said Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek l'olam haba means that every Jew right now has their path to olam haba. That right now you have your path. How are you going to get? It's my path. Kol Yisrael yesham chelek be olam haba. Every Jew right now, you know, it's not lit olam haba. You know, a Jew, we already have something. You already have a particular path, which is uniquely yours. In Torah, says a chida, every single neshama. The chida is not a, like, he's not tweeting in 2021. The chida is an absolute, you know, gadol, giant. Not the people that tweet aren't, but he's an absolute gadol and giant. Who's writing from a place, not to make people feel good, he's writing from a place of MS, you know, of a raw kind of MS, is the way that I would say, as opposed to maybe a sweeter MS. It's a Torah, there's an element of Torah which only I can reveal into this world, and nobody else can. There are secrets that only I can reveal. That me in my place, there are secrets that only I can reveal in Torah. Uva'od she'osa ha'neshama, lo gilsa osam, and until that point, when this neshama reveals them, until the point when you've revealed it, ein hakadosh baruch hu megala osam litzadikim. Only once you found your unique bechina of Torah, so then you've revealed something to the world, and then baruch shalom will allow tzadikim to get it also. But the Torah of the biggest tzadikim in the world is held up if you haven't revealed your piece of Torah a little bit. And that's, it's not weakening. It's saying, we're on a journey, and it's a chash of a journey. It's a serious journey. It's a lech lecha kind of a journey. It's a journey of going somewhere where what you're going to do matters deeply. And the Torah that you're going to share can uplift and can move in very, very real ways. It's your Torah, which is really going to matter. It's a Torah which is going to be very, very nice, but it's an ambitious Torah. It's a Torah which is non-judgmental. Non-judgmental. Everyone's on a journey and they are where they are. The Baal Shem could say, Shreichem Yisrael. But it's one that learns that by focusing on good and not just hearing the foul calls, not just hearing the ref blowing the whistle, that I can stay on that court and that over time I'm going to be able to move a little bit. I want to end with an anecdote. I think it's a very beautiful one. Many of you, I'm sure, listen to or are familiar with 1840. Rav David Shafkin, an old friend. So he's... Topic right now is Tshuva. He interviewed him, Judah. One of the best things about it is that they had the transcript, so I didn't have to just like, I listened to it. It happened to be last Friday, cooking for Shabbos. It was great. It was so enjoyable. Really fantastic. But Judah at the end, but as far as getting on the Makor, you have it on the third page of my sheet. You don't have it. I apologize. He shares a story describing this a little bit. You know, what the journey looks like. He talks about his father, and it's a very, very beautiful, beautiful thing. We had a family simcha last week. My dad made a siyum. My father made a siyum on Mishnayos. Now people finish siyumim all the time. Okay, it's very nice. For my father, he's a highly intelligent person, well-read people, but Torah was not a day-to-day in our home. We had homework from school that was Torah. We read Jewish books. But when I was in eighth grade, we didn't have a Mishnah Berurah in our house. We didn't have a Shas in our house. Nothing about the father's Baal Tshuva.
Connected, but really not so involved in the world of classic Talmud Torah the same way. Parents became Balei Tshuva, so to speak, you know, through Chabad, 1970, 71. His mom was at Woodstock, cool stuff. They were in Buffalo in the midst of the riots, in the midst of the revolution. They were open, and thank God they were honest, and Chabad found them, and they found their path. They found their path a little bit. Okay. His father had very little formal learning, a couple months at Or Sameach and Muncie.
growing up, I didn't learn bechavrusa with my father. I didn't see my father go to shir. Remember, at one point there was a certain type of shir in the shul, but we didn't wash during the week. And this is not an indictment of my parents. It wasn't where they were on their journey. Shechter points out, you know, sometimes that when it comes to a potential ger, the Gemara tells us they require kabbalas on mitzvos. You can't have a Jew of a ger, he's not with Makabal, certain mitzvos, so then we don't accept him as a ger. That's not true for non-from Jews. Non-from Jews, whatever they're willing to take, we begin the process, menakal velakaved, you know, people come on their journey, wherever they are. You know, it's not, there's no din of kabbalas on mitzvos for a guy to come into your house and have a Shabbos meal. You know, there's no din of kabbalas on mitzvos. If a guy says, I think I want to come on this like summer program, and you're like, are you willing to do everything? Everything? You know what Erev Tchumen is? You know, are you signing up for Erev Tchumen? You know, or like, are you really willing? Are you willing to go there? That not makes a migdash. You're going to be tumma and a kli cheres. You there? You know, there's none of this. I'm malik. You know, you ready for that one? We don't. That's not what we do. It's not what we do. It's a journey. You know, it's a reshachter thing. You know, kabbalas on mitzvos is a din of potential gerim. It's not a din in being makari people and bring people closer a little bit. Okay, so it's a journey. It's a journey. Father goes to 70. My mother and father both approaching at 70. Father made his first siyum ever in honor of his father's 50th yahrzeit on Gemara, and then made a siyum on Mishnayos afterwards on Mishnah, and studies Torah every day. His spiritual practice has developed and changed and grown to include going to shul every day. Now, I'm saying that that's called tshuva. It's growth, it's change, it's development. And the story's not over now. The story's not over. Even when we think it's over, it just continues. It just continues on. And in many ways, you know, you can look at like a Aseres Yemei Tshuva. You can look at Yom Kippur, which is coming up, the culmination of all of it. And it can be like a destination. Like Ne'ilah has a certain feeling of almost like destination. Like, have I gotten to where I need to go in Elul? Have I gotten to where I need to go, you know, or not? But in many ways, in many ways, without downplaying the significance of Elul and Yom Kippur and Aseres Yemei Tshuva, in many ways, it's more about jump-starting than anything else. It's more about jump-starting than anything else. It's the beginning of a process and realizing that our lives are an unfolding story. And it's an unfolding story in which we're going to have ups and we're going to have downs. It's an unfolding story, we're going to have struggles. But we know there's a bechina of Torah that only we can reveal. And we know that by celebrating and finding the good in ourselves and the good in others, we're going to be able to move forward. And we know that l'chol tshuva timtze slicha. And we know that even a chasir of a mitzvah tshuva is a chashav thing. And here, hurei tshuva is a great thing. And if you nail everything, harei ze meshubach. It's a beautiful, wonderful metzias. But to be part of that journey, I can say this. You know, it's like I'm not old, but as it's like I don't know, it's close to 20 years since I was Shana Aleph in Yeshiva. That's not, but it's it's about 20 years since I learned in Yeshiva. I can say the following with real. Where people were at when they left is really not so indicative of where they are now. What they did with and how they grew and the story and where they've gone in different directions. A guy who's really good at learning, you know, at age 19 or 20, and then he's done, you know, and then he's done learning, you know, right afterwards. So he's not growing the same way. And there are guys who weren't as great, but over time have grown. And there are people that have just moved in very, very different directions because life's a journey in many ways. But it's a journey where we need to be ambitious. It's a journey to celebrate the good in us and be understanding of ourselves and others. But it's a journey that when you walk into, you can walk with a degree of pride. I'm on a path of a lech lecha, I'm moving in a certain direction. And the Baruch Shalom should bless us with the ability to be on this derech towards wherever it is, El Aretz Asher Reka, the eventual destination, which hopefully can be with an element of personal geula and collective geula. And one where we can feel like we're moving in a great direction to celebrate over time us and our own journey for who we are, where we're from, and where we are going to be as excellent and as great as we possibly can be. Have a wonderful Shabbos.